Welcome to Financially Savvy in 20 Minutes, a podcast hosted by international award-winning author, two-time TEDx speaker and investor, Natalie Torres-Haddad. She will share the tips and tricks from interviews with self-made entrepreneurs, leaders, and those who have attained financial freedom while learning financial literacy.
Hello, hello. Welcome to Financially Savvy in 20 Minutes. I am so excited to be sharing with you today one of yesterday's speakers and today's panelists as well for Lola Retreat here in Seattle. Bianca has actually been a part of more than one Lola Retreat, so it's really incredible to see her come back and speak to women about money and all things and her travels. Just listening to her story yesterday on the panel, you'll tell us a little bit more about what you're talking about, but I was inspired, and it kind of reminds you of anything's possible and preparing yourself for the things you don't expect to happen in your life. It allowed me to feel like, you know what, crap happens and you can get past it and you can prepare yourself for it. And hearing your story really did make me think that I'm like, women need to hear your story.
Yay, goal accomplished.
Yes, exactly. So please tell us a little bit about why you're part of Lola, and maybe I think the one thing that really stuck out to me yesterday is how you said having the options that most women don't have during difficult times really got you through, and I thought that was so brilliant. And I'm like, how many of us women need to make sure we're prepared for the unexpected? So welcome, Bianca. Thank you so much for being part of this podcast.
Sure. Thank you for having me. So going back to what you just said, there was a story I told yesterday about my mother during her divorce, and she was around 40 at the time, and she told me one day that to always make your own money.
Yes.
And those five words really changed a lot of the trajectory of my life. To think, you know, I thought my parents got married at a young age, and they were together for 20-something years, and, you know, had three children and everything. My mom didn't see a divorce coming. My dad didn't see a divorce coming, but finances were a major player in that. And hearing that at such a young age, and before that, I was always making money. I always liked working. But hearing that made me think, oh, I can't depend on somebody else. You know, this is something I need to be able to do for myself. So that was one portion of it. But in the end, I did get married. And I did buy property, and the properties I had bought on my own before I even met my husband.
High five for that, because I was like, oh, you're preaching to the choir.
Yes. Well, the issue with that was when I first started renting, I realized I'm paying someone else's mortgage. Yeah. I am the one paying for somebody else, and it makes no sense to do that.
Right.
And so I had a landlord at one point that was a realtor herself. And so when I started talking to her, she said, you could probably buy your own place. And I thought, well, that makes sense. But I felt like I was too young at the time.
Mm-hmm. And how old are you?
How
old are you when you bought your first one?
That was around 24. I bought my first place at 25, I think. 25 or 26.
Awesome.
And I was only there for a year before I realized location is the number one important thing. And I was not in a great location. So I sold and moved to the city of Chicago, which is where my properties were. But so I started buying properties and kept buying until the very peak of the market was when I bought the last one, and everything kind of came crashing down at the same time. So the other panel that I was on yesterday that you were speaking of, I talked about how I got myself into $500,000 of mortgage debt and was making, I think, $40,000 at the time.
Wow.
So at no point would any same bank have given me a loan for $500,000, but because I bought everything kind of slowly, it never really kind of, it didn't trigger anything, I guess I
absolutely
should say.
You know, and I think that is something really important to share with people, because I've come across a lot of people that are equity rich, but right, have no money.
Exactly.
And the fact that you saw the recession, you lived through it as far as investing, and I think that's also really important to talk about now for this next cycle coming up.
Right.
Because a lot of people are like, I'm just going to buy, but they don't prepare themselves for a crash, for a market correction, for all these things. So I'm sure for you, it's kind of like that was your learning curve and you survived it. And then I think it was so smart. You just said you were already thinking about long term that you can be paying someone else's mortgage or yourself. So first of all, you said you felt you were too young. Did you have any challenges because you weren't married before you bought your first few, buying them on your own? Or
no, at the time banks were pretty much giving loans to anyone, and I was making enough money to afford the first place that I purchased. I believe it was 115.
So you were fully employed and buying properties.
But I will say, I remember going to the bank and them saying that I could get a loan for 175 based on my income. And I thought, that's insane. I'm knowing what the actual price was that I would be paying in PMI and everything else if I didn't do a 20% down loan.
Oh, and you did a 20%
down. I did 20% down on all of my properties. So talk about crazy when you're giving 0% down loans and I'm putting 20% down. I put a lot of cash into these properties and I got none of that out.
Wow. Yeah.
So for your audience, what wound up happening during that time was I had 3 short sales within 3 years once the market crashed. Mm-hmm. All of my properties were vacant because I had studios is what I mainly had. Okay. And they were kids coming in to work. Well, when all the jobs went away, there was no work. They all went home.
Yep.
And as it was, even with the rentals, I didn't have enough money in rent income to cover the mortgages. So I was just sinking fast.
Yeah.
Which is how, you know, now I look at things completely different. I thought at the time, if you have 20% down to put on a property, you could afford it. That was what I was taught.
Okay.
That was what the basics of investing at that time. I don't want to say this, but I feel like I have to. I was also a realtor.
So I was
also a realtor at the time as well as being a flight attendant. So I should have known better. But again, the banks were just giving loans to anyone.
And you were new to this. And one other thing, you're just right. The banks were giving loans to anyone. So this is, in real estate, something they hadn't seen before.
Yeah.
And I think it's important. You just said $175,000. They were saying, okay. It's kind of like you tell someone, I'm going to need a credit card for $100,000.
Right.
Credit limit. Are you going to spend that? No. So hopefully a smarter person will be like, no, $20,000 is the best limit I need. Right. I will never probably use that. But a lot of people for their first home, they're like, oh yeah, I qualified for $1 million. Like, doesn't mean you need to buy $1 million.
It's budgeting 101, right? Just because you take home $2,000 doesn't mean you spend $2,000. Right. You need to save as well.
And predatory lending and all this. And back then I remember too, I think I'm in California. So I think it was the stats came out that said for every 1 to 7 people were realtors. So a lot of people put that shame on them. So it's like, why should I know better? It's like, well, you were also learning as everyone else.
Right.
So I think that's crucial. And short sales are really important because when you mentioned it yesterday, I'm thinking most people don't know what a short sale is. I've actually bought short sales and I understand the huge benefit of the on that side.
Yeah.
But losing it, that's, I mean, the fact that you also lost the down payment. And thank you for sharing this because I know you say it now like so easily, but I know that's, I mean, it's emotionally, physically, all that stuff that comes with it. But the fact that other people are now listening to this podcast, you're probably saving them not only the heartbreak of that, the financial, but knowing that, oh my God, I need to make sure that doesn't happen to me, right?
Yeah, I mean, I was in a major shame storm during this time. My grandparents had invested in real estate. They were so proud of me for having these properties.
Right.
And the first time, I actually wrote about it first in a 3-part series on my blog, and someone contacted me and said, can you speak about this on a podcast? It was my first podcast I'd ever been on.
Okay.
So I was already terrified. And then they wanted me to speak about this thing that's really raw, and it's the first time I processed it was in writing, and I never actually talked about it even when it was happening. I pretty much didn't tell anyone it was happening.
Oh, I feel the same way. Yeah.
And so I'm doing this podcast, and I can hear it now when I go back. And I'm not saying which podcast it is because it's poor.
Vulnerability hangover that Brene Brown talks about, where you're just like, it's going to take me years. For me, it took me 8 years to talk about the financial hardships that I went through,
right?
Vocally actually say what was going on. And the fact that you were doing it in such a public way, I could only imagine.
Oh, yeah.
Like, good Lord. I completely understand it. Well, for me, same.
We talked about it yesterday, and I was on the panel yesterday, and I was thinking, I should probably have some concrete dates in my head, because my mind gets a little mixed up.
Same.
So I looked it up real quick. I'm like, okay, it's been 6 years to the month, this month, when I had my last short sale. And I remember that moment of leaving. I was in this high rise in downtown Chicago. And I remember it was 40 stories. So to go down in the elevator after signing those final papers and like holding it in because all these people are in the elevator with me. And I got outside and I just, everything just came out because I'm like, oh my God, this is at least 3 years of just short sales.
Yeah.
But really 10 years leading up to it, the buying, the saving for it, everything else. I'm like, this is 10 years and I'm back to
by yourself.
Oh yeah. And I was back to like ground zero.
Yeah.
Really. In terms of everything, wealth accumulation, everything was gone.
Yeah,
that 20% that I put on all those properties, gone.
You know, and people watching this or listening to it, I think, you know, I'm inspired by hearing you say this too, because the fact that you're like, you survived that, and that's something like, you did this alone, so you didn't have someone else to be like, oh my God, we're going through this together. And I'm sure your friends didn't understand either because you're in your 20s. I look at that being the only highlight that I'm like, thank God that this happened to you at 24 too, right? Because I had a few mentors who were seasoned investors. They lost their down payments. They lost their retirement money. But yes. They're like, oh, this is my retirement money, so then I can make sure I have even more money. And a lot of them had to go back to work. And these are people that had children, and they were like, I'm in my 60s. I'm starting all over again. And I can't imagine the shame. And at least for us, we had time.
Yeah.
You know, I started investing at 24 too. And I'm like, yeah, you start to think like, okay, I have some time, and other people are listening that lost everything during the crash. Mm-hmm. That's the only thing I can think of. We're like, you know what? We became stronger. We became smarter. Yes. Right? We know what to look out for. And you start to understand the market more too. We're I always tell people it's like, you know, someone's getting sick. You know, because their eyes are watered, their nose is like, you know, they sound stuffy, and you're just like, I need to stay away from you because you're sick, right? Yeah. And I feel the same way about real estate market, with these little signs. I'm like, this neighborhood has a lot of homes for sale, and they're not being bought like this. So what's going
There's
on?
There's an issue here.
Yeah, exactly. So you start to pay attention to the shit that's happened to us.
Yeah.
You're less a person you need to. You really get past that and say, okay, something else has to change.
Well, it's perspective, right?
Yeah.
You know, I did start buying at 24 or 25, I can't remember, and I was done at 34. That's when the last short sale was. So it was 10 years of my life. And to financially see that, I'm like, what was I doing all this time? Mm-hmm. I put so much time and energy and money into it to get nothing out of it. But I got the lesson out of it, which is the most important thing, because now I look at it completely different, you know, different than I did before. And if anyone's hearing this and thinking, what a terrible story, I want to paint the worst, most messiest possible picture of this to say that now 6 years later, I'm financially independent. You know, I was at my very worst then, and I managed to get my shit together.
Yes.
I managed to, instead of saving all that money to invest in property, saving it, and I invested in myself.
Yes.
I invested in the market during, thankfully, a bull market.
Yeah.
Also, the next property I bought was in cash because I could no longer get a loan.
Oh, yeah.
You know, after a short sale, you can't get a loan for at least 4 to 7 years. And there was a property upstairs in the same building that I bought, that I had had two short sales in, that I was currently renting in. And now they were selling the property upstairs, and I sold everything I possibly could to afford it. Had zero money at the end of it, except for my 401k at that point. And managed still to be able to now achieve financial independence 6 years later. So there is always a light at the end of the tunnel. Yes. You just have to find it.
And I look at this. Hearing your story, you functionally invested in your education with this, what we call hardship of financial.
Right.
That's how much a lot of students pay into their student debt or for a university degree and don't come out with financial independence at, you know, your age.
That is such a good point, because I always say I'm not college educated. I work in an hourly, you know, employment job. I don't have a salary. I've gone through a divorce during those three short sales. I went through a divorce as well, and there was no alimony or anything. I actually gave him the house and everything in it and just walked away. I definitely paid a lot in the real estate that would give me a fine ass degree from the school of hard knocks, right?
Thank you. And that's the thing I always tell people, because I did get the degrees, but I also invested in real estate too. And then sometimes people are like, oh, it's because you have. I'm like, no, I learned more out in the real world investing and the money that you lose, that you gain, that you win, that you go through, that is really, I think, a little bit more rewarding for me. And so hearing your story, I'm like, you just, and that's what I say, like, thank God it was when you were in your 20s, as opposed to like some of my, like I said, I still talk to some of them, and their lives still have not changed because they're barely picking up the pieces of the last recession.
Right.
And obviously for us, we get to hopefully not only educate, but hopefully inspire our own friends and colleagues in our age that have never bought a place. They're literally just starting out now. So hopefully we say, okay, try not to do this.
Yeah.
And try to make sure you do this, because then they probably feel like, thank God you went through so much, because you can actually give me advice on what not to do or what to make sure to look out for.
Right.
Because sometimes, especially as women, and that's why I said, if you had any challenges buying a property, because for me, I always got the question, wait, you're not married, or you're not going to have your parents co-sign with you, or a boyfriend, or, you know, are you sure? Or, you know, it instilled a lot of doubt, right? And I'm thinking, I'm already feeling doubtful of buying a place by myself. I don't need, you know, the people around me to say, are you sure? So if the numbers made sense, that's what I was always taught, and they did. So I think it's empowering to hear other women, your story. When I heard it yesterday, I was like in the back. She was an amazing panelist. And we're on a panel today as well, so we're going to talk about all about art and
real estate panel, which I'm excited about.
Yeah, it's going to be really great with these other women too, because I think once we see ourselves with other women doing the same thing, you're like, oh my God, I felt so alone there. I thought I was the only one that went through something like that. or maybe I never went through that, but they managed to overcome it, then I shouldn't fear that so much. Because if it happens to me, I know that I'm okay. I know that I can reach out to Bianca and be like, oh shit, I'm going through this right now.
Yeah.
And as women, we need to have this openness, this conversation, because it really does affect our communities. Like, you're from Chicago, from LA. So these are happening high market areas. Right. Rent is ridiculous. Home ownership is another rental property. So we can say, well, you know what? If we can do it in these cities, you can definitely do it in some other ones that you're not going to be, you know, spending way too much on the down payment. And that's partly why I was invested out of state as well, if you're in those areas that you can. But thank you so much for sharing your story.
Absolutely.
We're definitely going to do a follow-up because we're about to go on, so we have to make sure that we have time to get ready. But we're actually in the Seattle Art Museum.
Yes,
it's
beautiful.
A beautiful venue, and hopefully you get a little chance to see the back of the sculptures behind us. But I was like, dude, we're in the same place at the same time. Let's do it before you leave. You have a flight later on today.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's the best thing about podcasting, and I would love to have you back, and we can definitely talk about this for days. So
absolutely.
We have to break this up into 20. And so if you can, before we end, can you tell us, well, this is a question I always ask everyone, and then you tell us how people can find you. Do you remember getting that first, whether it's a paycheck or cash, that made you think differently from a 9-to-5 and be like, oh my gosh, this is how much money I can make?
Well, yeah, my grandpa tells a story, and I don't recall this, but when I came home from my first W-2 job and I was waiting tables, I came home and I showed him my paycheck to grandpa. I go, who's FICA? FICA, and why is he taking all my money? She's like, he's like, so yeah. I do remember that. I do remember thinking, I don't get as much as they say I'm going to get, right?
Yeah. So it put in perspective how much you're actually spending, right?
Right.
So
yeah.
I always love to hear people's story that you're like, you just never know how much money you make, and you're like, until the first, you're like, you either feel good about it or you feel
I
like,
did not feel good
this
about
is,
it.
I felt the same way. I was very few people, a lot of people like, oh, I felt wonderful. I'm like, I was like, this is it. You know, like, what happened to me? You know, I was thinking, I'm going to make some money, you know, so it's a, but it always lets us know that we were ahead of our time too, thinking differently. When, like, we can't just think the traditional 9-to-5.
Right.
It needs to be supplemental passive income too. So how can people find you?
So I blog at missmazuma.com, and I'm on Twitter and Instagram also, missmazuma, M-I-S-S-M-A-D-U-M-A. And yeah, that's the best place.
Awesome. So thank you so much for being with us, and we look forward to having you on our next Financially Savvy Talk.
Thanks for having me.
To learn more about the podcast, check out financiallysavvyin20minutes.com. For more interviews, make sure you look up Financially Savvy in 20 Minutes on YouTube and Instagram TV. To hire the trailblazer, as Forbes featured her the financial and mental health advocate for your next workshop or speaking engagement, follow Natalie at Financially Savvy Latina on all social platforms. All it takes is 20 minutes daily to become financially savvy. Music by Nikki and produced by Robert DeLude.